Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the First Congregational Church in Norwood, Massachusetts, with the Reverend Michelle Bagby Allen. FCC Norwood is a caring and inclusive faith community affiliated with the United Church of Christ. We are proud to be an open and affirming congregation and welcoming, inclusive, supportive, and engaged with mental health in our community. Today is Sunday, March 3rd, 2024. Our worship leader for today is Tom McClintock.
And now the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David! Hosanna in the highest!" Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12.
May we be blessed with understanding for our hearing these words from Scripture, and I invite you to pray with me. Let's pray. Oh God, as we hear these stories, as we near your Easter, may it be so that we may be more loving, more welcoming of you in our hearts and in our lives. And may the words that I offer be a blessing to those who gather here, that we might trust in you, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. I've been going back and forth with where to start today. I think it's going to be with the spider plant, bless you. There's a story in this church of a time when I was not here, of a Palm Sunday. Some are laughing already because you remember there was a Palm Sunday when it could happen. The palms did not arrive. I've never known if they were not ordered or if they just didn't come, they got lost. Nobody knows. Maybe someone knows. But when the Reverend Warner heard of it on Palm Sunday, he went into his office where he had a spider plant. And let's just say this is not that spider plant. Because he took the leaves off of the spider plant, and they became the palms of that Palm Sunday, waved with as much gusto as people could wave little limp spider plant leaves, and placed perhaps with just as much love. Yeah, you get the picture. It's a funny picture. This past church fair, this plant was for sale at the church fair, and I thought, I have to have that plant, because the pastor's office at the First Congregational Church in Norwood should always have a backup plan for Palm Sunday. I mentioned to the children, I have been to Jerusalem. It is a beautiful city. I have walked the path that leads down from the Mount of Olives into a valley that then looks up at the gates of the city, the walls of the old city of Jerusalem. I got to thinking about how it is that we remember Jesus coming into Jerusalem. We remember people shouting Hosanna. We remember the colt or the donkey. It's different in different gospels. It doesn't really matter. We remember that Jesus came. And we give thanks for that. But as I was thinking about it, a little removed from the pageantry of Palm Sunday, I was thinking about Jesus was coming from Jericho. That was last week's scripture reading for those who weren't here or for those who forgot from last Sunday to this. Last week, Jesus was in Jericho and he healed blind Bartimaeus, right? And then Bartimaeus followed him from Jericho, probably to Jerusalem. Anybody want to guess how far it is from Jericho to Jerusalem? Wild guesses, children. Do you have any guesses? How far from Jericho to Jerusalem? How long do you think you could walk in a day? How long? 80 miles. Not 80 miles, but very close in that there's an 8 in it. About 18 miles. Very close. So about 18 miles from Jericho to Jerusalem. Not a hard hike because it's mostly downhill, but let me just tell you that when I went on pilgrimage last year, 18 miles was about as much as I could walk in a day. Before I was calling James from Spain saying, I think I have to call a cab tomorrow, I can't walk. 18 miles is a long way to walk, even if it's downhill. And the story goes, Jesus came to Bethany and Bethpage, right, from Jericho to Bethany and Bethpage, which is about a mile or two outside of Jerusalem, also still up on a hill so you can see the city. And then donkey, colt, something happens, the people arrive, they're shouting, they're grabbing anything that they can get to lay down in the streets to welcome Jesus. And he goes in to the city. This is the kind of the east side of the city, the side where the temple is. And he goes in and he looks around and then he goes back to Bethany to stay the night. I've often thought that that is such a curious thing, that Jesus walks maybe upwards of 18 miles to get to Jerusalem. He was probably more fit than most of us, but he walks in, he goes into the temple, he looks around, and then he walks 2 miles back to Bethany, where he has friends, where he can stay. On pilgrimage, anybody been on a pilgrimage before? I guess anything can be a pilgrimage. But when you are walking a great distance as a part of a religious observance, I've been thinking about how Jesus might have had some expectations. When I get to the temple, something's going to happen. Something religious, something spiritual, something wonderful. And he arrives, looks around, and it doesn't say that like the fireworks went off and it was this amazing thing. In fact, what it says is he comes back another day and starts turning over tables. It maybe didn't meet his expectations of being the holy, fulfilled place that he was expecting. And so he goes, he comes back, and things are different. I think that our spiritual lives are sometimes like that. We think that if we come, maybe if we walk a long distance, something wonderful and spiritual and glorious will happen. And the good news is that sometimes it does. Sometimes we walk in and we're overwhelmed by the sense of spirit in a place. But sometimes we walk in and we look around and we go, huh, I was kind of expecting a little bit more. Maybe I'm disappointed at what I have found in this place. Maybe if I come back another time, it'll be better. Maybe it'll be, as Jesus comes back, worse. Boy, this is a really cheery sermon that I'm giving you, isn't it? That is a part of life and a part of our spiritual being. If you are like me, I have had marvelous spiritual experiences. Experiences like Jesus on the mountaintop, glowing like the transfiguration, and me wanting to just stay there and say, God, I want to bask in this. But if truth be told, a lot of the religious life, a lot of my religious life or my spiritual life has been showing up and looking around and going, okay, maybe next time, maybe next time, there will be that wondrous spiritual spark. Or maybe next time I'm going to show up and I'm going to be so mad I could spit. My hope in this life is that more often when we show up, when we put one foot in front of the other, more often we have a sense of God with us. That we don't lose hope, we don't find ourselves despairing more than not. But sometimes we also have to show up and just look around and say, I don't know, maybe if I come back tomorrow, it'll be better or worse. I love Palm Sunday, and I will say that now. I will say it in 3 weeks. I love Palm Sunday. Because in Palm Sunday, there's hope, and there's joy, and there's what are we going to put down in the road? What can we find? There's a spontaneity and a chaoticness to it. I also love that it comes every year, that Jesus arrives, and he looks around. Other gospels say he arrives, and he weeps over the city. He weeps at what he sees even before he's there. I've often wondered, is he weeping because he's sad for what is, or because he's hopeful, or because he know what is to come for himself? But if we keep walking, we keep letting ourselves be in the midst of that chaos, participating, eagerly anticipating. This is a way of faith. Not knowing if it'll be a good day or a bad day, or if when we look around we will experience sparks and fireworks, or if it will be okay, just kind of okay. When I look at what is going on in Jerusalem right now, what is going on in Gaza, what's going on in the world, it's kind of easy for me to imagine Jesus walking in and wanting to turn over the tables, not being happy with what he sees. And I also know that in our Christian lives, we have hope for a new Jerusalem, hope for healing, hope for peace that comes when people come together. And when God is in our midst, my prayer for the children and for our congregation is that even on the days when you think things are kind of overwhelming, you'll still come and you'll still have hope for the wars to end, for people to be kind to one another, for all of us at some point, maybe not every day, but all of us at some point, walking in and saying, there's God. There's God who can make all things new. This is a little bit of a longer sermon than I was planning. Sorry, kids. And sorry, adults, too. But mostly sorry, kids. I hope that as we welcome Jesus this Holy Week, as we welcome Jesus into our hearts, into our church, into our cities, into this world, that we will walk in and say, oh, there you are. I have hope. And peace can come. And all people will be welcomed that day.
Thank you for listening to our weekly sermon podcast. If you would like more information about FCC Norwood, check out our website, fccnorwood.org, or like us on Facebook. All are welcome to worship in person or via live stream on Sunday mornings. Worship rebroadcasts will be available the following day and sermon podcasts on Tuesday. Thanks again for listening.